This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy there. We're going to start there in chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Here Paul writes to Timothy, and he exhorts Timothy to hold his course. And he's confident that Timothy is able to hold his course because of the scriptural and the spiritual foundation that Timothy has received, Timothy received when he was a child. So it is the flow and the theme of this parenting series seminar that we're teaching now has to do with us preparing our children for the future by giving them a very strong, godly conscious, and a good scriptural spiritual foundation. And so when we began our series, we shared with you what the objective is. And the objective is for us to understand what God's objective is and what God's plan and purpose for parenthood is. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. We'll briefly review, and then we'll flow into the new information. It is important that we get the right definition because, we said, the power to define is the power to determine destiny. So we need to know what parenting is from God's perspective. The whole purpose of this is not to try to give you some secular or humanistic approach to parenting, but we want to know what God's design for parenting was so that we can flow in it. Verse 29 says, Matthew 22, verse 29 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do error, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." You do error, he said, not because you intend to, but because you don't have knowledge of the scriptures, nor you're dependent on the power of God. And so in any state in life that we're in, we have to have this knowledge of what God's word says about that particular state, and then the power that is available to us to maximize the state. The quality of any state in life that you're in is dependent on how you manage that state with the word of God. So we said that there are four basic states that we go through or that we have to deal with. We said first there is the unmarried state, then there is the espoused state, the marriage state, and then the parenting state. But we also said that you can become a parent by either circumstance or by choice. By circumstance means that you really didn't plan to, but it just happened. Amen? And then you can become a parent by choice, either that you plan to have the baby or you chose to take upon yourself the responsibility of a child. So we said, as a godly person, what is God expecting of you as a parent? What is God expecting of you as a parent? We said that God is expecting you to be responsible for raising and overseeing the development and nurturing of a person, a child, an individual who's capable of making godly decisions and living their lives to the glory of God. In order to do that, we must major on giving our children a God consciousness. Everybody say a God consciousness. Amen. Now, turn with me your Bibles to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. If we can instill in them a God consciousness, it will last over time. It will be that which will last. Amen. So Proverbs 22 and 6. Many of us who came up in church remember this scripture, have heard it repeated to us over and over. Verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." And this gives us a meaning that this training that we will do, and training is not suggesting, but it is setting up a regiment whereby a person's consciousness will be affected. So we said that if this is done properly, we can instill in our children a God consciousness that will last them a lifetime. So then, now turn with me in your Bibles very quickly to Psalms 113. We said that the parenting state, the training, the teaching, and all of that ought to be a joyous state. The Bible says it's a blessed state. So even though there are some challenges, and with every kingdom assignment, and parenting is a kingdom assignment, for every kingdom assignment, there are always some distasteful elements. And one of the distasteful elements of parenting is the discipline side of it. You know, the various stages that the child will go through, you have to adapt to and adapt to their various things. But through it all, the Bible says it ought to be a joyous experience. And so, when I want to know what the will of God is, I don't ask people, I ask the Word of God, right? Because see, you start asking people how they like parenting, and you don't tell them what answers you'll get from folk. Child, these children about to worm me to death. You understand? All kind of foolishness like that. But when we look for what the will of God is, we find God's will in His Word. And whatever somebody is going through has no bearing on what God's Word says. Amen? All right. So then in Psalms 133, look at verse 9, it says, He maketh the barren woman. Psalms, what did I say? I said 113. That's where you were at first, right? All right, 113, verse 9. He maketh a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. I wanted to emphasize the joyful mother of children. Amen? Amen. We have any joyful mothers in the house? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Turn down with me in your Bibles to Psalms 127. Psalms 127. And again, we're going to see that the Bible talks about this being a joyous state, a blessed state. And that is the will of God, that you enjoy the time of parenting. Paul says, I have learned that whatever state I'm in, he said, therewith to be content. So that means that you have to learn how to be content, how to have God's best in the state that you're in. Amen. All right. Now, verse 3 of Psalms 127 says, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies and the gate. Scripture says, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And really, the scripture is really talking about being, you know, having one quiver full. Not, you know, here arrow, there arrow, there arrow. You understand? All the arrows need to be in one quiver. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all understand what I'm saying? All right, because I want to get this scripture and get some kind of crazy revelation that they're just supposed to go spread their seed everywhere. You understand? All right, you know, I have to get some revelation, some insight as we go on. All right, now, I think you get the point now that it ought to be a joyous thing. Now, it can only be joyous. It can only be a pleasant and a fulfilling experience if we understand what God wants us to accomplish in it, and if we go about accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. And I believe that many times it can be frustrating. Any state we're in can be frustrating when we don't understand how to manage the state, how to go about doing it. And unfortunately, I don't really believe that many believers really understand what God is requiring of you. God's not requiring that you raise a genius, but He is requiring that you raise a godly person. Amen. And in our attempt to raise a genius that we can be proud of, you follow me? I say many times we sacrifice instilling into them the God consciousness that they will need, our children will need, in order to make it in life. We send our children to academic training so that they'll learn how to make a living. But we have to teach them the principles of God so that they'll know how to live. Amen. Now, turn with me in your Bibles now to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It is a state of responsibility. As a parent, you are in a place of responsibility. And I also want to expand this so that every believer in this church, every adult believer in this church, will see him and herself as a type of spiritual parent to all the children in our church. Amen? That we are all responsible for instilling in the children and the teens of this church a God consciousness. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, now, Deuteronomy chapter 6. In the old covenant here, it was impressed upon them the importance of them transferring into their children a God consciousness. Verse 7 says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." To them he is referring to the laws of God, the statutes of God. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now that just encompasses everything you do. So it says that the word of God, first of all, must permeate your whole life and your lifestyle. And as you are doing, as you carrying out your daily lifestyle, it ought to reflect principles of the word of God. You should be able to tell your children, this is why we do what we do. Follow me? Based on the word of God. Because we said that they learn through four avenues, through their experiences, their environments, through credible other people around them, and then we said through instructions. So we understand that their whole development period, when they're under our authority, is a learning period. Got it? And it's our responsibility to instruct them in righteousness. Turn with me in your Bibles now to Psalm 78. Last night we looked in Joshua and found out how Joshua was instructing the children of Israel when they walked across the Jordan, going into the promised land, that each man would pick up a stone so that he would leave that stone on the other side of the Jordan, so that it would serve as a memorial in the future, so that when their children would come by and would see the stones there, their children would be prompted and to ask the question, what do these stones mean? And it would be an opportunity for the parents to testify to the children of the goodness of God. It is very important that we testify to our children and remind them of God's goodness on us, in our lives, because they need to know that we do not give credit to anybody else for the success that we have but Almighty God. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. Now, are you there in Psalm 78? Check with your neighbor. Make sure your neighbor has it. We don't want anybody faking us. Amen? All right. Watch this. Psalms 78. All right. It says there, we'll start at verse 1. It says, "Give ear, O people, to my law. Incline thine ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children." Watch this. "Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that is set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." So here we can see that the psalmist is talking about how it's so important to let our children know of the blessings of God on our lives on a consistent basis. Amen? They need to have a respect for God, and it's our responsibility for giving them that respect for the things of God. Now, turn within the Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. See if we can't flow into some new information. And then I did not finish on in our second session on last night about being spiritually prepared for parenting. Being spiritually prepared for parenting. We want to talk about some dynamics of parenthood, but we also want to move in being spiritually prepared for parenting. Because in this millennium, we said that our children have to face some things that we did not face. You got it? They have to make moral choices at an early age, we said. And they are bombarded by fleshly enticements through the media far greater rate than we ever were. Follow me? So they have to deal with issues that we had no idea that were out there. You know, we had some things that we didn't know until, you know, we got into high school and college. You understand? They know now. Amen. And it's forcing them to make decisions that they are, you know, that at a much earlier age than we were. Amen. All right. Watch this. Revelation. What did I tell you? Chapter what? Chapter 12. We must understand that what the devil is seeking to do is he's seeking to undermine our attempt to instill into our children a God consciousness so that this next generation can take the kingdom of God to the next level. Amen. So we got to understand that there is a real war going on. And I got to get across to this church in particular that there is a real spiritual battle going on. Got it? Now, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, the scripture says, but against principalities, against powers. But those principalities and those powers, they show up in flesh and blood. I mean, they work through human agents here in the earth, you know. So we got to understand that any church that is on the front line doing the work of God, making inroads into the kingdom of God, you're going to face some situations. Amen. You know, I said I'm going to do a teaching. If you can't take the heat, get out the kitchen. You understand? See, a lot of people say they want to be prosperous. They don't want to fight. You say you want to be prosperous, but do you really want to fight to be prosperous? Because, I mean, there's a serious, especially if you got righteous hands. The devil don't want you to have no money. He knows what you're going to do with it, that you're going to give it to the kingdom of God. Well, I got to tell you, you in for a fight. It's a fight you can win. You got it? But if you can't take the, you have to get out the. Amen. And just going and selling for an old raggedy car and living on barely get a long street. Amen. And not having enough. But that's not God's best. But my point is, you got to really understand, and I really believe believers, you can get so comfortable, you know, and coming to church, nice little Sunday school meeting church, clothes, you understand, and, you know, nice good atmosphere, and, you know, just, you know, everything's, you know, some wonderful, good music, you understand, you know, nice excellence and surroundings, and forget, what are you here for? What is really going on? I mean, what is really going on? There's a real devil out there destroying folks' lives. And it's so easy to forget and become insensitive to the state that you were in before you got the word. My God, how many know you were really messed up before you got the word? See, I raised my hand when I was really messed up. I saved, but I was messed up. Sometimes almost. Can I get a witness here? You understand? But I'm serious. But see, I haven't forgotten that if somebody hadn't been passionate enough about caring enough for those who didn't have the word of God and took the time to spoon feed me the word, I wouldn't be where I am now. Somebody understood that there was a real fight going on over my destiny. And equipped me to stand up and pursue what God had for my life. It's a real fight. Got it? It's a real fight. Now watch this. In Revelation chapter 12. Did a little preaching on that then. All right, watch this. Verse 3 says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. Now, of course, we understand this dragon is, of course, symbolic of the devil. Amen. Of course, and this is symbolic of the war that went on in heaven and how he took a third. He deceived the devil, deceived a third part of the host of heaven. All right. Watch this. And did cast them to the earth. And did cast them to the earth. And did cast them to the earth. And did cast them where? That's where the evil spirits are. They're here in the earth. Yes, they are walking around, seeking whom they may devour. They're in the earth. Don't be fooled. They're in the earth. Watch this now. Right, watch this. And the dragon stood before the woman. Woman here is a type of church, type of the body of Christ. Watch this. Which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And I submit to you that the devil has a strategy to get your child, devour your child at a very early age. And if we don't wake up, you got it, we will forsake the spiritual rights, authority, and power we have over the devil and succumb to some humanistic strategy for raising our children, playing right into the devil's hands. Hallelujah. Okay. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Our children face serious demonic assaults. And you got to know how to spiritually protect your child. See, this seminar ain't about, you know, taking what you hear on Oprah or somebody other humanistic book and tell you about time out and stuff like that. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual fight that's going on. And the Bible says, Hosea 4:6, people are destroyed for lack of what? Now, that's a real devil with demons in the earth. And those real devils and demons are playing havoc on our children. You follow me? And you got to look at some of the crazy stuff that's going on. And you got to understand, you know, this is serious. Now, I know some of y'all going to probably, but that's all right. You can do what you want to. But I'm going to just tell you, you know, the Pokemon stuff. I know what I said. I said the Pokemon. I know it's Pokemon, Pocket Monster. But now when you look at who put it out and all the foolishness it causes and the philosophy behind it, it's supposed to give your child power. Come on, that ain't, come on now. You got to understand. He's learning from a little age that he can hold on to something and get some power other than God. Then when you look at the fallout that happens as a result of all this Pokemon, and I said Pokemon, I know y'all know Pokemon, foolishness, you got to understand. I mean, I'm persuaded. You don't have to be. I'm persuaded that there's a satanic thing behind that. I'm persuaded. You can just say it's cute if you want to. And you know, it's your child. You can do what you want to. But you got to understand that there has to be some demonic assault on our children. Look, we grew up, we couldn't even dream of somebody shooting somebody in school. You know what I'm saying? We didn't dream of somebody shooting somebody in school. Shooting? You got it? I mean, you know, it's, you know, there is a serious attack on our children. We are responsible for them. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to say something again, and you have to deal with it. I'm convinced that a lot of, if I say that, I know I'm going to get in trouble. It's easy for y'all to say, go on, say it. Get in trouble, Pastor. Don't get in trouble. Don't get in trouble. Don't get in trouble. And I'm going to have to prove it later on in the lesson concerning, you know, the devil hindering our children's ability to learn. You got it? And then we just take them to the doctor and the school say that they need some drugs. Got it? And I got to tell you, I believe something else behind that. Because see, drugs, those kind of drugs that put you in that very passive state just simply opens the door where your resistance is low, the devil walk right in. I said it like that, so I didn't call no name or no kind of learning disability or nothing like that. I didn't call no kind of drugs name, so you can't throw a rock at me. Unless you just want to anyway. But my point is, we cannot close our eyes to the spiritual attack being launched against our children. Devil is waiting to devour them. Amen. And it's our job to wake up. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, four phases of their development. Emphasis, time when we nurture them and guard them. Then we said the childhood phase, which is the time of training and teaching. Training and teaching, training and teaching. Amen. And then there's the adolescent stage, time of discipline in what we've taught them. It's time when we've already taught them, they already know, and you have the tendency to want to say, I know I told you. You got it? Well, you have, but this is a time where you have to discipline them in that which you've been, what they've been taught. Then the adulthood, which is the time of guidance and wisdom upon request. Guidance and wisdom. You never end being a parent. But there comes a time when you can only give guidance and wisdom upon request. Amen. Because they are free. Our children are free moral agents themselves. And we already said that their unrighteous choices has no bearing on your commitment to righteousness. So your children act a fool, make stupid choices. No sense of you getting embarrassed and get ashamed. You haven't done anything. Man, you haven't done anything. Shall I do something dumb, stupid? You didn't do it. No sense of you being embarrassed and ashamed. I ain't doing it. God, best parent ever. The author of it all. His son. And we're going to show you in our second session, we're going to talk about 10 things that every parent ought to do. You got it? And we get a model of it from God. And you're going to see God did everything. And yet Adam, in the midst of God doing everything he's supposed to do, laying the pattern and the groundwork for our parenting, Adam messed up. God didn't quit being God. He didn't get ashamed and quit coming to the earth. I'm telling you, because see, a lot of your young children make mistakes. Got it? They make mistakes. They go get pregnant out of wedlock, and then you leave the church. You didn't get pregnant. I mean, you all just keep coming, bring them too. You know, had a song in the Baptist church. If you ever needed the Lord before, sure do need him now. Amen. So the point is, you don't get embarrassed on it. You didn't do anything. You got it? And your commitment to righteousness is not affected by their choices. Amen. So, when they reach a period of adulthood, we have to pray, we have to intercede, but we can only provide wisdom upon request. Amen. There comes a time, you have to get out their business. Hallelujah. I know you want to help them because you don't want them to go through stuff that you went through. But there comes a time when they got to get their car repossessed so they'll understand the value of credit. And they can't go get credit nowhere else. Then the next car they get, they're going to pay the note on time. I mean, there comes a time we just have to let them go. Okay, go on. Hallelujah. All right, now. Four types of children that need our spiritual guidance. We all have one of these types in our homes, or all of our children will fall into one of these types. Number one is the unwanted child. I know you weren't going to like that one. The unwanted child. That's the child that was unplanned. Unplanned by man, but was a product of the purposes of God. And don't tell me that ain't the case now. Because some people weren't planning on the child. Y'all trying to play me tonight. You know, and at first, that can be some resentment. Because now that child has caused, you know, you to redirect your career and a whole lot of other things. And if you don't correct that thing, you resent that child, and that child feels that resentment. The unwanted child. Number two, some of y'all say, yeah, I know how it feels, Pastor, because my mama told me all her life. She wasn't planning to have me. You know, I just tell the truth. You know, my mama used to tell me that. I wasn't wanting. I mean, I wasn't playing. You understand? You know, no, I'm serious. She used to say it. She didn't mean any harm telling me that. But she just let me know that, you know, they thought their days were, of children was over with my brother and my sister. You see? And then she said, up you come. I'm going to tell you now. So that make you grow up with some issues. You understand? I'll tell you, I grew up with some issues, you understand? And then my brother and sister, they used to work on it, you understand? They didn't know what they was doing, you understand? But they'd work on it and say, yeah, you was made from the leftovers. So in a sense, when I grew up, with a real low self-esteem. Because my mama told me that, you know, here I come, you understand? And then my brother and sister were telling me I was made from the leftovers. How'd it make you feel, you understand? Amen. Number two is the special needs child. That's a child who needs extra attention for their growth and development. Could be because of some physical abnormality or because of some emotional abnormality, but that child needs some special attention. Number three is the rebellious child. Rebellious child. And tomorrow night, we're going to really deal with the rebellious child. How to handle rebellion in a child. When the devil has really set up strongholds in their thinking. All right, that's a stubborn child who needs love and direction. Now we're talking about tough love. We're talking about, you don't do that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about some tough love and direction. All right. And then number four is the obedient child. And the obedient child requires support and attention. And many times that's the child that gets neglected. Gets neglected because that's the child who doesn't ever get into trouble. And that's the child you say, well, so-and-so's going to be all right. Let me deal with this one. You follow me? And you end up neglecting this child, not showing them attention, you know, because you feel they're strong enough, they can handle it. And you got to understand that child still needs some direction, still needs some attention, still needs and requires your support. Amen? Now, we need the wisdom of God in order to handle our children in these various states. Five things every parent of right. Number one, you got to take full responsibility for your child's development. Do not think your school is going to do it. Do not think the church is going to do it. You have to take full responsibility for your child's development. Number two, you have to have a willingness to make sacrifices for the child's development, physically, spiritually, you got it, and emotionally. You got to make sacrifices. Now we're you know, wonderful making sacrifices for them academically. You follow me? But when it comes to spiritual things, we want to put that on the back burner. You got it? And you can't do that. You got to understand there are some sacrifices you have to make for that child's spiritual development. Number three is you must become the godly example for the child. We talked a little about it last night, but you've got to be that godly example for the child. You got a purpose to be the role model that your child needs. And if you're the role model, you won't have to, you know, complain when the secular role models fail. Number four, you must learn how to exercise faith and patience with your child. The will of God comes to pass by faith, right? The will of God does not automatically come to pass. The will of God is a product of our faith. Galatians 3 and 13 and 14. There in verse 14 it says, the promises of God, promise of the Spirit, we receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Universal principle, all the promises of God are received by faith. So God promises for your children are going to be received as you release faith for those promises in their lives. All right, then number five is you must have an unwavering dependence on God's power to help you. Unwavering dependence on God's power, God's anointed. You have to understand you are anointed to raise and to nurture a godly child. You are anointed to do so, and you want to depend on the power of God to help you do it. So we talked last night about number one, agreement. So husband and wives must be in agreement. Matthew 18, 19. You already there? You've had a long time to get there, haven't you? All right, it says, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. What a powerful principle. That if husband and wife can get together on any issue dealing with that child, you can bring forth the will of God because God's going to get in the middle of it to help you. Right? Second thing, turn to your Bibles now to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. That is the spiritual key of faith. We talked about five keys. The key of faith. And that is, I must understand that it is through faith I overcome situations. Through faith, you overcome situations. And you've got to train your children to overcome situations by faith. All right? Verse 4 says, 1 John 5, 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, the Spirit of God just brought this up to me. They hadn't planned on teaching but like this, but you got to teach your children what faith in God is all about. You have to have a good working knowledge of faith yourself so that you can let them know faith is not a magic wand we wave to make God do something. You got it? And initially when our children hear faith, you know, they almost hear that we can make God do stuff for us. Got it? And, you know, especially when it comes to competition, you know, pray that I win. Well, you got another Christian on another team praying to win too. whose prayer God gonna hear? You got it? Then if they don't win, they go, well, I thought you said God would help me. Well, see, if you don't explain the balance of that, is that you can only, in a competition thing, you can only pray for God to help you function at your maximum. That's all you can pray for. Because that competition of God ain't involved in that. You got another Christian running the same race you're running. I remember, I think, was that Richie who went out for his cheerleader? Yeah, Richie went out for cheerleader. And yes, he did. He went out for cheerleader and didn't make it. First time out, didn't make it. Got me, was all messed up too. And crying, carrying on, everything. Messed up. You know, we prayed. You know, it didn't happen. So you know, they told her why. Because in the school setting that she was in, you know, unlike, you know, the ethnic setting we came out of, there are certain things that you have to do as a cheerleader. Kind of, you know, ethnic setting we come out of, you know, you just got to kind of be real popular, look real good, and just shake your butt. You understand me? you know, there was not a lot of acrobatics and flipping and all that kind of stuff. And that was a shortcoming that she had. She couldn't do that. So we said, I told her, no. Here's why you were turned down. And what we're willing to do is send you to school, send you to extra school training so you can learn how to do the flips and all the other stuff. So that, you know, when you compete next time, you have what they're looking for. You got it? Now, I can't remember what happened. She went to the school. Then she decided she didn't want to be it, didn't she? Yeah. She went to the school, did the flips and all that kind of stuff, and then decided she didn't want to be a cheerleader. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, she got a balance in faith then, understanding what releasing faith in a situation is all about. My thing is, we have to train. First, we have to understand faith. And then we have to train our children so that they understand the correct application of faith. Most of all, faith should help us overcome situations. Got it? Now, faith teaches us that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Because Mark 11 says, I'll have what I say. So that means if I'm going to release faith for my child and for their future, then I've got to start putting pressure on my tongue today. And then there's some things I just refuse to let folks say about my children. You know, you're going to spoil them. Let me talk about them. I'm going to spoil my child, like my child some bad milk or something. I don't want you speaking that on my child. I mean, see, I believe that life and death is in the power of the tongue, you see. So I'm going to only speak good words over there. Follow me? And in tough situations, I'm going to still speak what God's word says. Amen. All right, now, then Acts chapter 1. My God, I don't know what y'all do with my time here. I got to get y'all full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, you got to get you real full of the Holy Ghost. We need some tongue-talking, Holy Ghost hands laying on, devil casting out parents. I mean, that's what we really got to have here. In this new millennium, we got to have that. Where sin abound, Bible says what? Grace did much more abound. And I'm going to tell you that you're going to have to learn to depend on the spiritual power of God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You shall receive power when? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. My God, I didn't get where I wanted to get this first session. Got to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse chapter 2, it says. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They got filled and they began to speak with other tongues. Well, do I have to speak with tongues? Why, of course. Do you have to? You should. Well, can I get filled with the Holy Ghost and not speak with tongues? Well, that's like buying a car and won't drive it. You know, questions I always ask, well, can I get filled and not speak? Well, why would you want to do that? If you don't understand what's going on when you're speaking with other tongues, you're praying, the Bible says, according to the perfect will of God for a situation. And with our children, with the things that are going on in their lives that many times we have no knowledge of, you need to know how to pray in the Holy Ghost for those children. Amen. You cannot forsake that when you're dealing with your children, of praying in the Spirit for your children on a daily basis. Got it? And the Bible says we speak the mysteries of God as we pray in the Spirit. We speak the word in the mystery as we're praying in the Spirit. So I got to understand, it's the wisdom of God in the mystery. I got to understand that when I'm praying in the Spirit, God is transferring to me wisdom for parenting my child. I got to understand that I cannot forsake this. And it's amazing how we always want somebody else to be the answer. Take them to the doctor, say, fix it. Take them to the school, say, fix it. Take them to church, say, fix it. What are you doing? Amen. And then you need to encourage your child. Your child's in this church. Your child got filled with the Spirit. You need to encourage your child to pray in the Spirit. Amen. And get that many amens on that one. All right. Here's the next key. All right. We deal with three keys already, right? Key of agreement, the key of faith, key of being Spirit-filled. The fourth key is the key of unconditional love. How can I love a child unconditionally? Don't confuse love with trust, and don't confuse love with being passive. Unconditional love has to do with, the only way you can love somebody unconditional is that the object of the affection of your love is perfect. And you say, oh, what did he say? The person say, what did he say? The object of your affection, the object of your love has to be perfect. Now here's what I mean. When I love God and I want to please Him, it is only with that love connection that I can have unconditional love with anybody else. Because my love for Him, the Bible says, I love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. You follow? When I'm so passionately in love with God, then He tells me that in order to demonstrate my love to Him, I've got to love somebody else. Well, I can love you unconditionally because you just simply get in the overflow of the love I have for God. So what you do don't matter. I still have to love you. Don't have to trust you, but I got to love you with the love of the Lord. Did you get that? See, I can love you unconditionally no matter what you do simply because I'm loving you because God told me to. So I love you as unto the Lord and not as unto you. So no matter how crazy you act, you don't bother my, you don't shake my love for you because you just get in the overflow of my love. You're fortunate that I'm a God conscious man. Otherwise you get some flesh and some wrath. Now you got to get this. This is really the key to unconditional love. See, most people say, well, how can you take that? Because it ain't about that person. It's about my love for God. And He says, but if you love me, you're going to treat this brother a certain way. And I say, okay, God, I love you, so that's what I'm going to treat. You ain't done nothing to me, God. You ain't done nothing wrong to me. He did. But he getting my love not because of him, but because of you. So no matter what he does, he still gets my love. Y'all getting that? Who don't understand that? If you don't understand that, raise your hand. Come on. And I'll work with it some more. Who does not understand that? Because really, you got to understand. If you understand this, this frees you up from people. Who does not understand the point I'm making right now? Yeah, that's a hand there. Anybody else? Come on. I'm going to work with it till you get it. My whole purpose is for you to get it. Now, here's the thing. Okay, give me an illustration. Give me some people up here. Okay. Brother here. And come on, brother here. All right. Give me an illustration. Here's go. All right. This brother over here. Okay. This brother is God. It's God over here. If I say, well, y'all wave at God. Wave at God. All right. Let's go. Okay. Okay. Now, this is my brother here in the earth. Got it? Now, God says, okay, Hilliard, if you love me, then you got to love him. Follow me? Now, what I'm doing over here with him really ain't got nothing to do with him. It's got everything to do with this relationship. So as Ephesians say in chapter 6, what I'm doing to him, I'm doing it as unto. You got it? So he lies on me. But I ain't loving him because he was telling the truth before. I'm loving him. Why? Because God told me to love him. Follow me? You understand? You know, what else could he do to me? What do you say? Yeah, he steals something from me. You understand? I come out, you know, I come out here running from my car, you understand? You know, I open my car, radio gone, you understand? I wasn't loving him before because he hadn't stolen my radio. Why was I loving him before? Right? So I can love him unconditionally because it ain't got nothing to do with him. It's got everything over here to do with. Y'all getting it now? You getting it? It ain't got nothing to do with him. What he does, now look. It, love simply means that in this situation, I got to treat you like Jesus would treat you. That's all it means. You got it? That's all it means. I'm going to treat you like Jesus would treat you. I can love him, not trust him. I can love him, not invite him to my house. Then come to my house, I love you, but I ain't got to invite him to my house. I got to love you with the love of the Lord, you understand? That's, yeah. Now you think, if I saw him run away from my car with my radio, that I'm going to say, hey, bro, hold my wallet here. I got to run over here. You think I'm going to do that? No, that's I'll be a fool, you understand? I understand he need to grow up in the things of God and righteousness and integrity. But that don't stop my treating him right and loving him like with the love of the Lord because I ain't loving him based on him. And that's the only way when your children go through their dumb days that you can love them. Because they can do some crazy things, you understand? Some things that you just want to just haul off and just, but then you hear that scripture say, as. And then sometimes, look, sometimes you want to say, God, look, just turn around. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? God is up. Just leave this one alone. I can handle it. Just take a little vacation, God. And then, thank you, brother. Y'all may be seated. You understand? All right. If you get that, you're free from how people treat you. You're no longer, you know, responding to how folk treat you. They treat you so bad, and you can be so sweet. Because, look, it wasn't about you in the beginning. And really, you got to grow up if you really... The Bible talks about persecution, you understand? Whew. If you don't understand the love, unconditional love, you can't do it. You can't love somebody when they persecute you. You want to just get right in the flesh with them and just say, meet me, I shy. you understand? Y'all stay in here praying, but me and so-and-so, we're going outside. And I don't even care if they whip me. Just the opportunity to hit you is good enough for me, you understand? Just opportunity to get a couple blows in is good enough for me. I don't even care if you whip me. You understand? Now, let's go to the next. All right, let me get the last key in. Last key in is the key of spiritual authority. Luke 10:17. Key of spiritual authority. My God, you got to get this one. And when we come back, we'll have to pick this one up. And that is, we've been given power over the devil. And I've got to tell you, believers, you got to start going through your children's rooms, praying, laying your hands on them, coming against the forces of darkness that's trying to disrupt their lives. And I'm telling you, teachers who are in the public schools, you need to get to school early. You need to pray in your classroom. You understand? Cover everything with the blood of Jesus. I mean, that's your spiritual right and authority to do so. I mean, you don't need to get nobody else with you. You can do that yourself. But I'm telling you, we're in a spiritual war with wicked spirits that are running havoc here in the earth. And believers seem to not understand who they really are. But when you understand, you can take authority. And so there in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, I'll read it and then we'll have our break. Anybody get blessed tonight? Amen. Can you just sense an anointing, you understand? An anointing to move to another level and changing your perspective concerning your children and parenting. It says verse 17, says the 17 again returned joy saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, behold, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by what? Any means hurt you. And so that's what we've got to understand with our role to do. Our role is to take authority over the powers of darkness that are attacking our children. I'm out of time. Amen. You get blessed. All right, Dr. Bridget's going to come.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Dr. Zavi and Bridget Hilliard at New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas, write Light Ministries, Post Office Box 670167, Houston, Texas 77267, or call 281-875-4448. You can also call toll-free 800-908-4222. And remember, we are changing lives through faith.